Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. So, for the last month, we've been in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2. The angels have come and gone. Mary and Joseph came, left, came back. The shepherds came and left. The wise men came and left. Herod left. Everybody's in transition. Everybody's coming and going throughout all of this scripture. And that's very unusual for the ancient world. Most of the time, people would never be outside of their village that they grew up in, never even 5 miles away. But in the Christmas story and what we've been looking at over the last month, there's a lot of coming and going. A lot of the coming and going is angelically inspired, Holy Spirit inspired, Word inspired. But the Christmas story, as we come to this point, it's not over. We often see Christmas coming at the end of the year. We see it as a culmination of the year, a climax of the year, and now it's over, let's move on. No, the Christmas story is just the beginning. And that's today's message, just the beginning. What we've been focusing on for the last month is laying the foundation for what's to come next. It's just the beginning. So that's why I chose to go to John chapter 1 today, because he gives us a completely different aspect. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All right, now to that point, that is prehistory. That's Genesis. That's John's interpretation of Genesis in light of the gospel. He's not talking about the physical creation of the plants and the animals and of mankind. He's talking about the Word and God's Word being there and Jesus being God's Word. Now, he shifts in one verse. He shifts by thousands and thousands of years. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now he's to the Christmas story as we know it. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, meaning the Jewish people. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, a couple of things that we see there, and I'm going to skip. I'll just keep reading. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, verses 5 through 14 is the Christmas story as interpreted by John. Now, verse 6 and 16 and 17 that I just read, that is now. Again, I'll read that. For of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. So fullness and grace, for the law was given by Moses, grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. We are moving into that now. Everyone who came in contact with Jesus, everyone, whether it was shepherds, Mary, Joseph, wise men, everyone who came in contact with Jesus was changed. Changed. They were changed. They were not the same. The shepherds, look what happened. They went from being shepherds hanging out on hillsides to telling people, almost like evangelists, telling people what they had seen, telling people about the angels, telling people about the glory of God, telling people about how what was spoken to them they found in Bethlehem. They went everywhere sharing what they had seen, what they had heard, and what had taken place. The wise men, the scripture clearly says they went back a different way. They went back in a way knowing God. They came following that star. They left by a dream. God was communicating them personally. They didn't just follow a star and interpret it from scripture. They now had a link to the Lord. They worshiped Jesus. Something in their heart changed. And now God was speaking to them directly in the dreams to go a different way. So they were changed. Mary and Joseph. Mary kept pondering these things, putting them in her heart. Joseph, who was reluctant to marry, to go through with the marriage after having that revelation by the Spirit through the angel. He takes her to be his wife. Everybody was changed. Jerusalem was changed. But not the same way. Because the only people that I see in the story who don't get changed are the religious people. We have a lot of religious people today. There are people in churches today that would not have been changed by the birth of Messiah. Because they trust in their religion. They trust in their rules and regulations, in their ritual. It's not in ritual. It's in relationship. It's not in religion. It's in relationship. And what we see is that everybody who personally came to Bethlehem began a new relationship with God through Jesus. Everybody who heard it, they all in Jerusalem heard about it. They researched it. They saw the scripture. They saw where he was going to be born. But none of them went. They continued in religion. They continued without a relationship with God. Even the star that the wise men followed, there must have been many others who saw it and did not respond to it. And they were not changed. What we're talking about is being changed by the presence of God in our lives. Are we like everybody else? Are we like the unbelievers in our lives? Are we like the religious people around us? Or have we been changed because we've come to Bethlehem and we've worshiped the King? We've met Jesus. We cannot be the same as everybody. And as we're concluding this year and beginning anew, we need radical change in our lives that people absolutely can tell the difference between us and religious people, between us and unsaved people. There should be such a strong distinction that people are aware that they come to us and say, there's something different about you. You're not like everybody else. There's something different, something going on. And that's the Spirit of God upon us and the faith of God within us, which brings the Word of God out of us. Here's some points that we can do. Number one, are you prepared to dream God's dreams? Are we prepared to dream God's dreams? Now, we all dream. Everyone, whether you remember them or not, everybody dreams. And every dream is not from God. I can assure you of that. But there are some dreams from him. Are we going to be in the place where we receive? Joseph, who was dead set against marrying her, yet in his heart was in a place where he would receive from God. So when the angel gave that dream, spoke in a dream, he received and acted upon it. The wise men, they knew there was something fishy about Herod. I'm sure they could pick up on it. But they didn't have any intention of going back home a different way until they received the dream from the Lord. And they acted upon it. So are we willing to act upon the dream that God gives us? We've got to determine that first. Are we willing to act? Because if we are willing to act, God will show us in dreams and visions. That is a promise of the Holy Spirit. That we would have dreams and visions. It was prophesied, confirmed in Acts, and so we can dream dreams of God. Many things in God's Word, I drew the parallel last week between Joseph in Egypt and Joseph in Bethlehem. Dream-based, dream chasers, following dreams. And a tremendous change takes place when we follow a dream that God gives us. So first, in order to get that dream, we've got to make sure our hearts are ready to follow that dream, that we act upon. Because he will not give us a dream if he knows we're not going to act upon it. But when we act upon it, we will see more and dream more. Number two, are we prepared to experience angelic appearances? We have more angels appearing at the birth of Jesus than any other event in the Bible. Other than the rebellion, you know, that we hear about where one third fell. Other than that, this event, this world-changing event, has more angelic appearances in a short time than anything else, which is, if you look at it in the economy of God, this is the most priceless thing that is taking place. And we follow him. We've accepted him into our hearts, which means to me that the angels are still coming and going. Still, well, we had angels coming and going on the ladder, right? The ladder between heaven and earth. That ladder was never taken up. That ladder goes to our hearts. There are angels ascending and descending with the word of God even now that we are many times unaware of. Can we bring ourselves to the place where we are more aware of the angelic presence in our lives and around us? God hasn't changed. The word of God hasn't changed. If angels appeared in the Old Testament, if angels appeared in the New Testament, angels are still appearing. Are we ready and prepared? I know people who have seen angels. I know people who have seen angels on the street. I know people who have seen angels in worship. Ones on the street looked like other people. The one in worship was gigantic and awe-inspiring. So angels can be, I don't want to say a common experience, but can be a shared experience for all our believers. Number three, are we prepared to follow the glory of God? The wise men followed that light, which I would say was the glory of God. The shepherds were shown the glory of God. Were they any better than us? We actually have a relationship with the Lord, which means the glory of the Lord revealed to all people is what was said. We can experience his glory if we decide to follow his glory. Now, when I say follow his glory, you know, I always joke about, oh, the glory's fallen in that church, let's go there. Oh, the glory's fallen there, let's go there, let's go here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about personally following his glory in your lives. There are a lot of things that we do and see and are involved with that has no glory. The glory of God's not there. It's completely worldly and earthly. If we focus on the glory, we go from glory to glory, is what the scripture says, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. How do we go from glory to glory? We've got to get some glory in the first place and then move on to more glory. The glory of God is the presence of God. Where the presence of God is, think of Moses up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down, he had to wear a veil because the glory of God was shining out from him. He soaked up the glory of God from being in the presence of God. So where the presence of God is, the glory of God is. When John sees the Lord and when Isaiah sees the Lord, we see glory. We see lightning. We see colors. It's the glory of God. So we who have a relationship with him, we have, how can I put this? We've got a ticket. We have an admission ticket. We are admitted into the glory of God. We have a right to be there and experience his glory. But he will not waste his glory. He will not allow his glory to shine or be shown if we do not respond. And when we see the glory in the Christmas story, they follow it. They follow him. They follow his presence. They follow his glory. So we prepare our hearts to say in the coming year, we are going to follow the glory of God. If we have this brilliant idea to do something and it's not producing the glory of God, we got to stop it. If we are finding something that is producing, we stick with that. When I say producing, you know what I mean. It brings us into his glory to a greater capacity. Now, his glory, it's not always visual. His glory sometimes is sensual. You will sense the presence of God, the glory of God. Sometimes it's completely by the Spirit. You know you've entered in to a place where his glory is. And I don't just mean a physical place. I mean a spiritual place. Maybe you've been praying, and suddenly you enter into a new place. Happened to me one time when we were praying about, and most of you know the story, of a car that was stolen from the courier company that I owned years and years ago in Washington, D.C. And we had been praying for that car. We reported it missing to the police, praying for it, and nothing was showing up. And they told us, the police said, there's no hope. It's already been to a chop shop. It's in a million pieces and sold all over. Don't expect it. And we continued to pray. And one night in a prayer meeting, we were not praying about the car. We were just praying in the Holy Spirit. But we prayed and prayed and suddenly experienced that place where we prayed through. We broke through. Now, the old-time Pentecostals will talk about that, when they would have prayer meetings where they would pray until they broke through. Now, it's not breaking through God. It's not God, like, holding back our prayer. It's breaking through self. It's breaking through humanity. It's breaking through ourselves. And at that point, I knew that I knew something had happened. Now, I didn't know what happened, but I knew something had happened. And the next morning, first thing in the morning, the police called to say they found the car. And of course, as the story goes, we had been praying and commanding the stealing spirits to give it back. And so I asked the policeman where they found the car. And they said, well, that's the funny thing about it. We found it in exactly the same spot you reported it stolen from. And they said this, it's as if they gave it back. That's what the police said. Now, I didn't tell the police we're praying for that, but that's exactly what happened. That was after a period of time. Yeah, it wasn't just the next day or anything. So follow the glory of God. Number four, travel to worship. Travel to worship. The wise men traveled 1,000 miles for one worship service. And we have folks that can't go 20 miles for a worship service. Travel to worship. There is no reason why people cannot attend church from North Carolina, from Charleston, from Wilmington, from Columbia. This is our area. People can come from Fairmont, North Carolina, Chadburn, North Carolina, from Loras, South Carolina, Tabor City, North Carolina, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, from Florence, South Carolina, Surfside, Garden City, Pawleys Island, and in the D.C. area, from Maryland, D.C. and Virginia. People, you don't have to travel far from those areas. You just travel from your bedroom to your living room or wherever your computer is. It's not too far to travel. It's not too far to travel to get up and be online at our services. If the wise men could do it, and we can't, that makes us dumb men. We call them wise because of what they did. So just reverse that if we can't match that. And I know there's another wave of another virus. Now listen, I am convinced, I have no medical proof for this, okay? But I'm convinced that because this virus was designed in a laboratory. Don't give me that stuff about bats. That's ridiculous. It was designed in a laboratory. I believe it was designed to mutate. I believe that we see all the mutations because that was in its design, because it was a bioweapon. It was being worked on as a bioweapon. Now, how it escaped, it could have escaped accidentally. I'm not saying that it escaped intentionally. It could have escaped accidentally. That part I don't know, but I do know. I just know it. It's going to continue to mutate. And we've got to continue to stand against it in faith. Because my Bible says that every sickness and disease was laid on Jesus at the cross, which includes all mutations. The virus cannot mutate beyond the power of God. The power of God is bigger, stronger, and better than any mutation. And actually, comparing it historically to the Black Death, the Black Death mutated itself out of power. The Black Death, it came back about every 10 years after 1347, but it was never as strong. and it came back and it affected different people. And eventually it stopped, it lost a lot of its power. And that was before the vaccination. Black Death still exists, but we have vaccination for it now. But it did continue to come back weaker and weaker. So I'm believing that even though this may have been designed to mutate, the mutations will not continue to get stronger, but in fact break down and get weaker. That's just that's where I'm putting my faith. That's where what I'm believing. But anyway, those of you with compromised immune system, please take every precaution. Those of you who don't, those of you who travel to other states, travel to other cities, travel to visit friends or family, go to regularly to the supermarket or to Walmart or to those places, you need to be in church. It's time. It's time to be back in church. Because when we're here, the anointing increases. It's like everybody, if you have a popsicle stick that's on fire, it's not going to put much light. But if everybody brings them, there's a bonfire. So we need to see you back in church in the coming year. Again, those with compromised immune systems, those who are in danger, no, absolutely not. We want you to stay safe, remain safe. Those of you in other states, stay online. We want you to stay on. We have no intention, by the way, of going offline. I shared this with some people recently. When I first found out about online and websites, did I share with you the first website I bought? The first website I bought was not PastorFrank.com. The first website I personally bought was 25 years ago, whenever we started doing this, was called iChurch International. Internet Church International. The first website that I bought, my vision was for an online church worldwide, there's no boundaries. So I bought, now, since then, I sold that. I got rid of that because up until recently, there was no software to make that possible. We had the name, but we didn't have a way to make it possible. Now, with the Go Brunch software, we make it possible. And so now, we are seeing the fulfillment of a dream that God gave me 25 years ago for iChurch International. So yes, stay online. From other states, stay online. Those of you who cannot come out physically, stay online. We're not going offline. This was my dream from 25 years ago, and we're seeing it being fulfilled now, and we want to expand it and grow it in Jesus' name. So, travel to worship. What number is that? Four? I didn't number them. I just wrote them down. All right, five. Respond to the Word of God. Respond to the Word of God. Make up your mind and your heart that in this coming year, you're going to respond to the Word of God. When you receive a word by the Spirit of God, you're going to act on it. When you receive a word in prayer, you're going to act on it. When you receive a word from another person, a prophetic word, you're going to act upon it. When you receive a word of God in a dream or a vision, you're going to act upon it. When the Spirit of God just floats up a scripture to your heart, when you're reading the Bible and suddenly get revelation, you're going to act upon it. Decide in your heart, in the coming year, you're going to act on the Word of God. Not just act on something that you get instantly, but act on what you already know. How many of us know much more than we do as far as act out, right? How many of us know much more of the Word of God than actually act upon the Word of God? Well, the Word of God, for example, I'll give you a quick example, follow up on what Pastor Mary Beth said. Word of God says, it is His will that all are saved and come into the knowledge of God. That's His will. That all men and women are saved and come into the knowledge of God. So what are we doing about that? If we know that scripture, are we acting on that? That should be a passion to act upon that and bring people into relationship with the Lord. So respond to the Word of God and respond positively. Six, accept His call. Accept the call of God. We are called. We have had a revelation of God. We are called. We know His will. We are called. Called to grow the church, called to win the lost, called to equip the saints. You probably all know people who are churchgoers, but don't know a quarter of what you know. You probably all know people who sit in church and they hear the same message over and over and over, just in a different way, but it's the same thing. Nothing ever changes. And you share some things with them and you tell them about things, and they say, how do you know this? Where did you get this? You probably know people that believe some bizarre, strange things about the Word of God. Maybe popular in Christian circles, but not based in God's Word, nor based in historical literature. Just somebody made it up and it sounds good. And yet you know the truth. Well, you need to share with them and bring them in. Bring them out of doubt, bring them out of error, and bring them into the truth. It is our call to populate the church of truth, that people would know this is the way, walk ye in it. Number 7, tell somebody. Tell somebody. We usually have little cards out at the front desk, little business cards about the church. Whenever you go out and somebody brings you a bill, do you leave a business card for the church with that bill? Now, of course, if you're a lousy tipper, don't do it, okay? We don't want to get a bad reputation. But if you're a good tipper, if you really take care of your wait staff, leave a card. Invite them to church. It's so simple to share, especially they come over and they come and say, "Hi, I'm John, and I'll be your server today." You can say, "Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm born again. Do you know Jesus?" I mean, you may not be that direct, but you could always... Or they write on there, you know, they write, they used to, I don't think, does anybody go to a place where they still write on the table? You know, they have a paper on there and they write their name. "Hi, I'm John, and I'll be your waiter today." And you write 3:16. You got it? Some people got it, yeah. Be creative, but tell people. Tell people about the Lord. Now, you got to pray ahead of time to make sure you get a waiter named John. That's the only way that works. It's not like, "Hi, I'm Ralph." 3:16 doesn't work that way, does it? I've never read the Gospel of Ralph. It was one of the apocryphal, yeah. Probably a Gnostic scripture.
Tell Pastor Frank, tell what Brother Stormont would say to
Brother Stormont and the wait staff. And I was sitting with him. Brother Stormont... We had a friend, and we knew him when he was 84 years old. He's with the Lord now. But he was the last surviving person who had a personal relationship with Smith Wigglesworth. If anybody knows who Smith Wigglesworth was, and this Brother Stormont was from England, and he had Smith Wigglesworth in his church. He knew him. And anyway, so we would have him, and he was a dear, dear older man. But we'd go out to lunch or dinner with him, and the waiter or waitress would come over, and he'd look at them and say, "You know, I was speaking with someone today who knows you." And the person, right away, the person would say, "Really? Who?" "Jesus. Jesus knows you and loves you and wants to have a relationship with you." And do you know, I watched waiters and waitresses tear up. Now, I can't use that because I got to be like 85 years old for it to work, you know? It worked for him, but it was beautiful. It was just, I was always watched for the reaction, and I watched tears and just a wonderful way. So God has a way for each of us to share, but we say we're ready. We're going to share. We're going to tell somebody. Last one, maintain relationship with the Lord. Maintain relationship with the Lord. To maintain relationship with the Lord, personally, it's by walking by the Spirit, walking by faith, and corporately, it's by being a part of a church.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.